a podcast featuring ordinary men of extraordinary faith. This is Manna.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Manna, a podcast featuring ordinary men of extraordinary faith. I'm your host, Jeff Peterson. Now, none of the guys that you're going to meet on this podcast would consider themselves to be extraordinary, but it's their humble, holy way of living. That's exactly what makes them extra to me, and I am excited for you to meet them. All you need is love. Okay, so for those over the age of 50, you'll now have that song stuck in your head the rest of the day. You're welcome. And for anybody else out there, that might sound like an overly naive statement. But for everyone, anywhere, especially those that are hip to Jesus and the good news, and actually really, you know, most all other world religions out there, love is both the common denominator and also, you know, kind of the common currency of living this and the next life best. So why has something so known, so needed, and actually, you know, pretty simple, why is it so hard to do? Well, today's guest has taken on the challenge to make it easier for us to get our arms around love and around loving others more effectively through an incredibly thoughtful and novel approach that involves a book, a journal, and a special pair of dice. Yes, dice to love people better. His work is inspired by the five love languages that I know I've referenced on this show before, which, by the way, this might be a good time to remind folks out there to please rate, review, and share this podcast because I'm a big words of affirmation guy. Our guest work takes that seminal work to a whole next level of engagement and effectiveness. Now, but lest you think he's any kind of like cliched Woodstock hippie, and sorry, that's another post 50 reference for those out there. Rest assured that our guest has earned both his street cred and his love cred as a U.S. veteran, as a missionary in Japan, a CFO, and currently serves as president of his own financial services company. And that's in addition to everything that we're going to talk about here today. So this guy's plate is full. His work can be found at rolleoflove.com. And I'm so excited for all of us to meet today's Manna man, Mr. Paul Zollman. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Jeff. Thank you. That was a brilliant introduction. I love how you said, put your arms around love. We and I use that a whole lot in our life. That's a great phrase. Thank you.
Well, thank you for being here. I can't wait to jump right in. I loved connecting with you over, kind of the love language space, can't wait to just hear more about your backstory and your background. But let's jump right into the present. You know, the love languages, which, you know, as we all know, however we came upon them at first, you know, it's kind of like, oh, okay, this might be a little soft, might be a little hippy dippy, but so useful. I mean, so there's so much utility kind of in the source material itself that, you know, I never thought they could be improved upon, but you did. You took what was already very useful and you've brought it up to this next level of impact. So tell us about the role of love and what you're doing.
Jeff, thank you very much. Those are great questions. And the role of love is something that I developed because I did not know what it was. I did not know what love was like. And there came an event probably 15 years ago that I was single, I was dating, and it was time for me to take this person I was dating up for Big Brother approval, 300 miles north. I'm number 10 of 11 children, Jeff, so I always have to have Big Brother, Big Sister approval. It's just what the culture is in the family. So I take this woman up, and first thing that happens, I go into my brother's house. My sister-in-law quickly pulls her aside, and says, the only emotion that the Zollman family learned growing up was anger. At first I denied it, said, then it would be mad. I thought, she pretty well nailed it. And I got mad, just like she said, that we're angry people. And it started with, I think it's a generational thing, Jeff, that we learn what our parents give to us. My father graduated from eighth grade. My mother graduated from high school, 12th grades, and that's all they had, and that's what they gave. And it's, I think education plays a huge part in what we learned, but this was something that they learned, and the discipline was harsh, very harsh. I remember getting the belt several times, but I remember one spanking that was so harsh that I remember being black and blue for 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And it was just a, more of a beating type thing. And how do you get away from that? I had a lot of residual anger, Jeff, hanging over that. And so I thought, you know, I'm blaming my father for all these social awkwardness. You know, if someone gets mad in public, that's kind of awkward. When I did it, my family would disperse. I couldn't find them. They didn't want to be associated with me. It's like poison. Somebody just did something in the pool, and now everybody's scattered. Everybody's out of the pool. And it's just was that kind of a situation that nobody wanted to be around me that way. And I didn't want that type of signature on my character. Did not want that type of thing in my own family. So I started working with that, and from my negative attitude that I had growing up, that negative atmosphere, I was thinking, I don't want to be angry. A double negative statement, and double negatives really don't work in relationships. Right. It works in math. Yeah. I mean, you could multiply two negative numbers to get a positive, but it doesn't work in relationships. Okay. So it wasn't working for me. So what I thought is I started reading the color code, and I started reading the five love languages after this incident at my brother's house. And I really settled on the principles of the five love languages. Dr. Gary Chapman was a pastor. He identified that these are things that Jesus Christ did in his own life. Yeah. Each one of those five love languages, he touched people's eyes so they could see. He touched their ears so they could hear. Even after he was resurrected, we know that touch was part of his ministry because he had to say to Mary, "Touch me not." She must have been coming in for that hug or something like that, for him to have to say something like that. So we absolutely know that touch was part of his ministry. He had the gifts of the Spirit. He freely dispersed those gifts of the Spirit to those that he came in touch with. We know that he spent a lot of time with people. He didn't have a cell phone to be looking at, but he just sat with people and just sat with them and talked with them, taught them the gospel. Obviously, he served. We know that. And we absolutely love his words. We've got the scriptures. Those are his words. And it's just interesting that as you search the word of Jesus Christ, I would go to the back to the Last Supper. And the Last Supper, Christ is saying to his disciples, said, "One of you is going to betray me." And it wasn't just Judas. It was every single apostle said, "Lord, is it I?" Yeah. "Lord, is it I?" And as they're saying that, I'm thinking through the story, said, you know, in relationships and the failure of relationships, "Lord, is it I?" Jeff, if you're not brave enough to get the answer for that, don't ask the question.
Yeah, right.
But if you're brave enough to get the answer, you're going to probably get a positive answer. And then comes what's the remedy? How am I going to overcome this? So I read the book, The Five Love Languages, four or five times. I went through it, but it didn't go through me. Hmm. Even after doing that, I could not tell you, maybe I could tell you three, but I probably could not tell you all five love languages. I could not spit it out just off the top of my head. It wasn't there. It wasn't part of me. So I said, I've got to figure out a way to do this. You know, Dr. Chapman, bless his heart, I love the theory that he put out there. But his idea of me guessing, Jeff, what your love language is, and then catering to that, you know, we'd be buddies if I could do that. But I'm a bad guesser.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'm a bad guesser. It's not happening, not with you, not with a lot of people. And so that didn't work for me. Then the other thing that Dr. Chapman had was, well, if you take this survey, Jeff, I can find out what my love language is. what am I supposed to do with that? What am I, advertise? Hello, Jeff. I'm Gifts. What do you have for me today? I'm done with awkward. I already had the social awkward things that were left over from my father. I blamed him up at age 35. My father was dead for 7 years by the time I was 35. Here I am blaming a guy who's not even around anymore. I can't defend himself. I can't talk it out with him. And I'm still blaming him. So I realized at that time, I'm responsible. I have to take charge of my own life and have to take responsibility for my actions. And when I decide that, and I'm working with these love languages, I feel like it's got to be a better way. So I contact Dr. Chapman. I email him and ask him, are you licensing those little pictures that you have for the icons for the love languages? And his attorney wrote back and said, no, we're not doing that. So I still had this idea. I thought as a child, even as dysfunctional as our family was, that games brought our family together. Sure, there was that smack talk and there's that the put downs and there's the competitiveness and they're all that in an angry setting, but it still brought us family together. And I liked that kind of thing. So I thought maybe I could make it a game. So I went to a local intellectual property attorney, a copyright attorney that was a friend of mine, and just had a conversation with him. And he taught me this. Theory, like the love language theory, is not copyrightable. Application is. Mm-hmm. So what that means, Jeff, is that Dr. Chapman didn't have it as a game. I could make my own icons, make it into a game, and so that's what I did. So I created my own icons and put it on a cube or a die, and it's just one die, actually. It's not two, as you mentioned in the introduction, okay. Just one. So on each side of the die, there's a hand. On one side, it has a hand holding a hourglass. That represents time. So these are all pictures, no words. The next side has a hand holding a platter, indicating service. That's for service. A hand holding a gift is for gifts. Two hands together forming a heart has a little conversation fly out like you would see in a cartoon. Like if the heart is talking, those would be the words. And then the two hands touching one another would be touch. So those are five love languages. On the sixth side of the die, I had to figure something out, Jeff. So I thought, what would I put on the sixth side? And I thought, what about surprise me? Mm-hmm. And so I created a hand and then put a question mark above it. So that one is surprise me. So there's just two instructions. You roll the die every day. That's the love language you practice giving away all day that day. Mm-hmm. Giving it away. And Jeff, I only could do that giving it away because like Dr. Chapman suggested to do it to your significant other, I didn't have one. I was single when I created this. And so I thought, well, who am I going to love? Who am I going to send this to? And I just thought, well, I'll just try it with everybody I meet. Everybody I come in contact with, I'll try to practice or watch for an opportunity to practice that love that day. Over a 30-day period, what happened to me, Jeff, is I learned all five love languages backwards and forwards because I was using it all the time, watching for these opportunities all the time. I'm watching for people to light up. When they light up, I've identified their primary or maybe a secondary love language. I don't have to, and you don't have to either. No more is there this awkwardness to say, excuse me, could we pause this relationship for a minute so I can have you take this survey so I know how to love you? Quit it. You don't have to do that anymore, Jeff. I've solved the problem. Just watch. You use your observation skills and you watch for those moments that you're making that person's day. When you're making that person's day, that they you're feeling paid. You're sending this love out without any expectation of it coming back. Dr. Chapman would suggest that people can only send out their primary love language because they want it back. They think let's make a deal. It's not the reciprocity. That doesn't work. That's called a transaction. That's business. You want a business relationship? That's business. You could have a business relationship. It's not really love. I think there's a better way.
Now, I love so much. I love so much about what you've done. And one of them, I'm going to start actually at the end and then we'll work our way back to the beginning. But that the diversification or the challenging people to actually, even if they have their own love language, you know, even if they've read the book, taken the survey, they've profiled themselves. Like I joked at the intro, I'm a words of affirmation. just because I've identified what my love, primary love language is, doesn't mean that I shouldn't be able to put the other four into effect. And that's, I love that part of your design, literally your design, which is like, okay, I'm going to roll this die. All right, today I'm a giver of gifts. Okay. And that's what I'm going to practice. So I just love that. Just like you said, Jesus had them all. And there's no reason why we shouldn't, in service of love, as you say, not just expect others to cater to our, my language. We got to be good at all of them. And the other thing I love at the very, very beginning, Paul, you said, and I think you've identified something that even as a fan of the love languages, which I am, you know, I never really realized until you just said it. When we go around then and try to start guessing other people's love languages, even if we are earnest as we can be, you know, and as sincere in our effort, we're still doing that through our own lens, you know, like we're never able to truly get out of our own way, you know, our own biases, our own preferences.
Right.
And so what I love about your approach here is it is because you're forcing people to exercise all five and then look for that reaction. Like you say, I'm not profiling somebody, you know, I'm not saying, well, you know what, they're touch, you know, because, ah, man, they're always giving me a hug or whatever. It's like you're actually waiting for that feedback based on your approach. I just think it's just so creative and simple. And I love it. You have to be getting good feedback from this. I mean, I can imagine your inbox is full from people just raving about this.
Well, I wish it was, I've got more room in my inbox, Jeff. I appreciate that. And then, you know, I think that this is really something that, you know, as you send it out, the best thing about it, well, two things that happen, Jeff, is you become what I like to call a love language linguist. Sexy title. I know you want it. I know all your listeners want it. You want to put it on your resume. That's so right. When you put it on your resume, you go to that employer and they're going to say, what the heck is a love language linguist? Pardon my language there. We're on a Christian show. But what is a love language linguist? And that you're going to just tell the employer, well, I just love people. That employer wants their customers loved, and they want a loving environment within the workplace. Just think of this, Jeff. Hostile environment reduces productivity. A loving environment, there's absolutely a whole lot more cooperation, a whole lot more productivity, number one. Number two, what it does for you is that it improves your vision. It gives you that peripheral vision that no longer are you just looking for your own primary love language or secondary love language as love. You can see that, oh, they're loving on me. It's not my primary, but I can respond appropriately. You have this peripheral vision that you've created because you can give it away and you can see it when it comes your way.
Yeah. Now you're being very wonderfully and appropriately modest when you talk about feedback, because I've seen the feedback, I've watched the videos on your website, so I know this is impacting people. What I'm wondering is, and I love how you right out of the gate, and maybe because you knew what show you're on today, where we talk about faith, but you know, right out of the gate, you're making the connection, as Dr. Chapman did, that these languages were all exercised and espoused by Jesus. And like I mentioned, love is pretty universal out there with any faith tradition. When you get feedback from people who are using this and playing this game, are they making the connection to a faith tradition? Are they making a connection to Jesus? Or do you find that comes, because I wouldn't say the book when it came out, and I don't think people who talk about it now are necessarily making that link, but what are you finding with the people that are playing the game and using your materials?
Great question, Jeff. And to define whether they're making the connection to Jesus Christ, no one has ever said it by name that way, but this is what they say. They say that there's more peace in my family. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. So I would think that, of course, that's going to happen. This is love. This is what he practiced. And it's interesting that an interesting question that you have there. I think that there's a teaching moments too. And Jesus had these teaching moments that he'd do parables. But let me just tell you about a family that I tested this with that had a teaching moment. This little boy, he's 4 years old. He has four other siblings, five children in the family and the two parents. And they're practicing this. One day, the little boy, he rolls physical touch and he says, "Yes, physical touch." And he's pumping his arms up and down, both arms up and down. And he's just so excited for physical touch. Immediately, Jeff, he's 4 years old. He's the youngest in the family. He goes beats up on his brothers. And so the mother is just trying to hold back that laughter because that was not what was
right, expected. Exactly.
That wasn't what I was hoping would come out of there. So it's a teaching moment, not only for that young man, that 4 year old boy, but also a teaching moment for those siblings. And this is a way that you would practice physical touch. And it becomes a teaching moment in a lot of situations when you're rolling the die like that. And when you're practicing appropriate love, Jesus loved those teaching moments and he really capitalized on those teaching moments. So does it insert into their life as Jesus would? Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Fits perfectly. The other thing is, though, that what I found, Jeff, when I was being angry was that I was stacking annoyance. Just like my father, I would stack annoyance on top of annoyance, on top of annoyance, on top of annoyance. You never would know when I'd get to the top and blow and have that flash of anger. You would never know. And then I'd go back down and then I'd just start over again. What I found with this is that these five love languages are stair steps to higher laws of love, higher laws of compassion, higher laws of the law of charity, the law of mercy, the law of forgiveness, intimacy even would be one of those higher laws of love. Sympathy, empathy, anything like that that you can think of that would be a loving or higher law, these are the stair steps, or you could say it's the foundation. Everybody needs this in their life to get to those levels of love.
Yeah, I think it works on so many levels, Paul. It's just like you did there. You can go deep on it, with the brilliance of this is also in just like you mentioned the connection that it can make with people of all ages, people of both genders. You know, the gaming of it is just so, you know, there's so many great ideas and so many big theories out there that never get put into action because they're just not accessible enough. You know, a lot of smart people, a lot of spiritual people, a lot of good people walking around trying to do good work and they're just not able to break through. And I just think what you've done here is just such an engaging way to start that love conversation. And I just thank you for it and for sharing it with us here today. So we could talk all day on it, and maybe we'll have you on again here and we can go into round two. But for now, we need to get to our fun segment of the show. Now, this is something that listeners of Mana know that we ask the same three questions of every guest, every one of our Mana men to answer. And I usually am on top of it. In fact, we've done over, you know, probably 150 interviews by now. And I'm almost certain that I have shared these questions in advance with every single one of our guests. Even when they say they've not seen them, I have proof. Now, with Paul, I will admit, I did not share these questions. So when Paul says, "Hey, that's a really good question," I remember them, and he's being very, very truthful. So, but there, I assure you, and I assured Paul before we rolled here, he is going to do just fine. So fun segment question number one, if Jesus knocked on your door tomorrow morning, Paul, and just wanted to hang out with you for the day, okay, just you and Jesus, you can do anything you want. Take him anywhere, do anything. How are you going to spend your day with Jesus?
Great question, Jeff. And you're absolutely right. I have never heard that question. I've never seen it in print, but I'll answer it. I think that's a great question. I love my neighborhood. And, you know, in our neighborhood, we have a lot of parties. And so once in a while, I'll create a flyer for the party and I'll go knock on all the doors. And everybody around my neighborhood now knows me as the party person. And I'm getting to know their names. And just when I knock on the door, I say, "Hi, Justin, how's it going today?" Whatever. And just give him and say, "We're having another party," and we'll do that. And I would do that. I would take Jesus around to just introduce him to all my neighbors. I have in my neighborhood, just the, probably two blocks from me, an assisted care facility where there are a lot of elderly. There's some that are independent living and some that are really kind of confined to the room or to the facility itself. And I would absolutely take him in there. And there are some that are ailing, some that are hurting, and just be with there with him to see what we could do to help them on their way, heal them or comfort them, provide words of comfort in that way. That's I would love to get Jesus's opinion of the good that I see in these people. Yeah. And what are the good does he see in them? And mm-hmm. just have a sharing moment like that.
I love it. I love it. And very true to form of your whole life's work here, Paul. And you'd share him. You'd share him with others. You wouldn't keep him to yourself. You're going to share him with others. It's fantastic. All right. Fun segment question number two. If you could go to church with any other man, living or dead, famous or not, you may have known this man or not. It doesn't matter. Any other, the only rules on this question is it's got to be a guy and you are going to church. Who are you going to church with?
I think that I'd love to go to church with Abraham Lincoln. Mm. And I think that Abraham Lincoln, I believe he just had the attitude toward men, that men are, we're all created equal. We're all sons of God. And that I think that with that attitude that we'd get along famously, because I really see that. I see that in men. I see it in men and women, that we really are children of a Heavenly Father. There's a light in them. There's divine in them. Let's watch for that. Let's see what we can do to make that. And I think Abraham Lincoln, in my opinion, what I've read about him, is the epitome of somebody that absolutely did that. He didn't want the slavery, and obviously that ending that was a huge step in that direction.
Yeah. He'd be a good one. He'd be a good one. All right, last question here, Paul, bringing us home here. Fun segment question number three. If you could give just one piece of advice to a younger man, younger, like could be a teenager, whatever, just somebody younger than yourself, further upstream, about living a confident life of faith, of love in your case here, which you've detailed wonderfully and brought to life in just a great way. But what would that one piece of advice be for a younger man?
I would think that piece of advice would be that when they were a child and they took a magnifying glass outside and they burnt ants with that magnifying glass, with the sun shining down on that, they were magnifying that heat from the sun. And that if we magnify that the weaknesses of other people, that's going to grow. That's going to burn. That's going to, and it's going to make those other people feel uncomfortable. Not only that, maybe resentful. And that now they're going to look back and look on your own weaknesses. So I would suggest that these, instead of doing that, let's focus on the good parts of people. We've been taught by the media to focus on the bad, but it's not there. That's not where love is. If we focus on the good parts, that's going to grow. That's what we want to grow. Most people are intrinsically good. I would say that they're 80 to maybe even 90, 95% good. Everybody has weaknesses. Everybody has a little bad in them. Everybody has little things that they're problems that they're working on right now. And Jeff, I would just walk with this individual, this young man, walk with him outside at sunset or sunrise and say, what do you think is the best part of a sunset or the best part of a sunrise? And he'd look around. He said, I don't know, the colors maybe, or they might say, and then I'd say that it's the clouds. It's absolutely those trials in our life, the adversity mm-hmm. that we face in our life, that refines us and helps us be better people. That once we get through the clouds, that's when we can see that silver lining. But everybody has to go through it. The best thing that we can do is watch for the good in people and help them on their way. Everybody's going through a cloud at one time or another. That's what I say.
Amen. Amen. Well, the man is Paul Zolman. The website and the product and the brilliance is at rolleoflove.com. So I encourage everybody to check that out and get your own die. Get a couple of die and then give one of them away. And you can spread the word and the great mission that Paul is on. Paul, thank you for being here. Thanks for everything you're doing. And we just wish you the best and can't wait to see where this goes.
Absolutely. My pleasure to be with you.
Thank you for listening to Manna. If you have any questions or recommendations for future guests, send them to mannapodcast@gmail.com.